This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear debris with the 40-volt jet fan leaf blower. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Refresh the summer vibes with Tic Tac and you could win a Lollapalooza VIP experience in Chicago. Visit TicTacSummer.com for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of 50 U.S. states and D.C. 18 plus. Ends June 30th, 2024. Void in PR and where prohibited. See TicTacSummer.com for rules and free entry without UPC.
In some instances, the sum, is it greater than the parts? Is it equal to the parts? How does it equate to the parts? Because what it looks like the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing is building a Frankenstein-like wide receiver two to address a need. Hello, everybody. Good Wednesday afternoon, May 8th, 2024. This is the Southside Beat. I am Corey Crissen. As you can see, Chris Halleck is not with me just yet. He will be joining us relatively soon. I bet if you thought about it a week ago, or even today, earlier this morning, the next time that we would be talking to all of you about a move the Steelers have made at wide receiver, I bet you didn't envision this. I bet you would not have envisioned that the name that we would bring up is Scotty Miller. Now, here comes Chris. We'll get him in relatively. Chris is like a couple seconds behind, but that's okay. We started the show without him. The show does go on. Chris is here. Let's get him in. Hello.
What's up?
Howdy.
Yeah.
We're rolling.
Business to attend to.
business is booming over here. As I just opened the show with, this Frankenstein lab of wide receivers now.
Ooh.
If you would have asked me a week ago who the next name that we would mention that the Steelers are adding at wide receiver, I probably would not have heard Scotty Miller. Probably would not have done it. Now look, Okay, for those that don't know who Scotty Miller is, Scotty Miller is actually a Super Bowl champion. Played with the Buccaneers, played with the Tom Brady teams, won a Super Bowl with the Buccaneers. He is out of Bowling Green State University, Iziggy as they say up there, played with Arthur Smith in Atlanta. So this is now, by my count, the fourth former Falcon that is joining the Steelers in some capacity. Of course, talking about Cordero Patterson, Miller, Van Jefferson, and Michael Pruitt, the tight end. Mm-hmm. So they're adding another piece to the room, but as we have talked about this week, all this week, Monday and Tuesday, it is not that top-of-the-line receiver depth. It's almost like if you take a piece of Scotty Miller, a piece of Quez Watkins, a piece of Van Jefferson, a piece of Calvin Austin, a piece of, a piece of go down the depth chart. You're gonna mush together one solid wide receiver two out of it. But that's not how this whole thing works.
We had a joke in our company Slack whenever this went down. I said something along the lines of like they're just gonna build a wide receiver two out of spare parts. And then Amanda came in and said, through the Moneyball quote, said that they're going to build the wide receiver two in the aggregate. The way that they were, the Oakland A's replaced Giambi is just, it's funny, man. It's just, I don't know. I mean, to me, it made sense to add guys such as like Van Jefferson and Quez Watkins, like, you know, some of the other guys like Denzel Mims on like futures deals and stuff. Like I understand bringing a lot of those guys in Having a whole bunch of guys compete, competition is a big thing for the Steelers. They like to have a lot of guys in there. And I'm not saying that there's no chance that any of these guys can come in and claim a job and blow somebody away. But it's really interesting to me because Amanda made a good point of this too. And this is something that I think, you know, a lot of people are realizing, especially the more and more the types of receivers that are being adding like this. If George Pickens goes down with an injury, they are screwed at receiver. And I think that's the big reason why is, okay. Like last year, Deontay Johnson gets hurt in week one, you know, that you saw what happened when that happened. Like when Deontay went down with an injury, you saw, okay, Calvin Austin, not ready for that. Not ready to step in and be the wide receiver too. You saw how Allen Robinson was over the hill as a pass catcher, or at least, you know, in terms of being a productive pass catcher. Vegas, the Raiders, they just flat out doubled George Pickens and said, I dare you to beat us with Calvin Austin or anything. And granted, the Steelers did. The Steelers, you know, obviously there was obviously the big, you know, touchdown pass to Calvin Austin in that game. But when you look at the tape, man, whenever they were running even single high safety, that safety was shading so far over to pick inside. They weren't respecting the other side of the field. If George Pickens goes down with an injury, like who are you going to use to test defenses deep?
I'm sorry, you're not talking me into Denzel Mims. John says Mims, camp sleeper 20. You're not talking me into Denzel Mims. You're not talking me into Scotty Miller. You're not talking me into Denzel Mims. You're not talking me into Van Jefferson. You're not talking me into Calvin Austin. You're not talking me into Quez. Well, I can keep going.
At least Miller can play special teams.
I agree. But you're not talking me into any of these wide receivers beyond George Pickens as anything that could be, and Roman Wilson, that could be anything considered legit towards the top of the depth chart. You're not going to be able to do it. It's just not going to happen. We said the same thing about Hakeem Butler last year. Just look at him. Specimen. Had hands of stones. Couldn't catch a football in training camp. Yeah. Like, they still have to go get that top-of-the-line wide receiver if that's the direction they're going to go. Adding Scotty Miller does not change the dynamic or the complexion of the wide receiver room. It gives Arthur Smith a familiar piece, a guy that he's worked with before, somebody that can come in and absorb the offense and help efficiently install it in a way, and also, like you said, play special teams. They have a bunch of wide receiver 4, 5, and 6 right now. They have a wide receiver 1/2 in George Pickens. I still think he has a way to go to be a 1, but that's just me. Mm-hmm. You have a bona fide slot guy in Roman Wilson. At least he's proved that at Michigan. He'll have to prove that as a pro. And then you have a bunch of 4s, 5s, and 6s. That's just what they have. I'm not gonna be sold on Denzel Mims having to break out, you know, being the next Deontay Johnson. I'm not gonna be sold on any of it. They have to go spend the money. They have to go look. I read, you know, what's it gonna take to get Brandon Ayuk? Okay, I'm reading up on this stuff, seeing what national people are saying, and I'm not saying this is consensus or anything, but it's gonna take a hefty price tag to get Brandon Ayuk. It's going to have to take a hefty price tag to get one of these top of the line guys that are on the market. It's going to have to take potentially a first round draft pick in the future. So if Omar Khan and the Steelers are really serious about shoring up that we're screwed if George Pickens goes down quotient that this offense currently has, they have to spend, they have to pony up to get it. They don't have the leverage here in this case. So it just depends on how they do it and who they get. But this is not, under any circumstance, top-of-the-line depth that they're adding.
No, I will continue to stress patience because there is the June 1 date to consider and how teams can save cap space by waiting until after June 1st to either cut players or trade players. And so, you know, there is that to consider when it comes to another way the Steelers can add a legitimate number two receiver, a legitimate guy who can play outside. Because to me right now, I feel really good about this receiving core. If they were to add whoever it is on the outside to play alongside George Pickens, and then you have several options such as Roman Wilson, Calvin Austin, Van Jefferson, Quez Watkins, all these guys who can all then compete for snaps in the slot. Because in Arthur Smith's offense, let's be real here. Anybody past the top three in the depth chart, you're pretty much playing for scraps. No. You know, there's going to be a lot of two tight end sets you would expect there to be. I would even expect, should they get a fullback or whatever else, there's going to be more heavy sets. There's not going to be as much 11 personnel, I don't think. Especially the amount of 11 personnel the Steelers played last year. I would expect there to be for that percentage to go down. But if you go into the season with expecting Roman Wilson to be that outside guy, to me, that's putting him in a bit of an unfair situation because he's got some room to grow. It's essentially the same thing as trying to throw Deontay Johnson in as a rookie and expecting him to be that. You know, he had to grow into that role and he grew into it just fine, you know, turning into one of the best route runners and separators in the league. But he wasn't that when he first came out of college, and the Steelers had other options outside of Deontay when he was drafted. So that's something the Steelers don't really have right now. Like, really the only bona fide receiver, like legitimate, unquestioned, this dude's an NFL receiver, no doubt, is George Pickens. Everybody else there is, like, yes, there are other guys who can fill certain roles and everything like that. But when you're talking about a guy who you can say, that guy can get us, you know, a catch on any down, George Pickens is the only guy right now. Everybody else leaves a lot of questions.
I'm not going to sit here and say that signing Scotty Miller is the end-all be-all to this wide receivers room, because it's not. But Jordan says, we don't need a $25 million wide receiver. Here's the thing, Jordan. Yes, they do. Okay? Yes, they do. I'm looking at average annual value on salaries on wide receivers this year as we speak. Devontae Smith, average annual value, $25 million. You mean to tell me that the Steelers couldn't use a guy like that? Looking one down below him, DK Metcalf, $24 million. You don't think the Steelers could use a guy like that? Debo Samuel, 23.85. You don't think the Steelers could use a guy like that? I can keep going. Michael Pittman, Terry McLaurin, Calvin Ridley, Stephon Diggs. You mean to tell me the Steelers don't need a guy like that or could use a guy like that? Look, they just had an $18 million wide receiver. They traded him to Carolina. And I like Deontay as a person. I know a lot of you people that are listening to this show right now were very anti-Deontay, all right? I don't have to call names out or anything. I know there were a lot of anti-Deontay people in here. And the Steelers paid $18 million a year for a wide receiver like that. You mean to tell me that there's not another wide receiver that's better than Deontay Johnson? Guess what? There are. And if you want a wide receiver that's an upgrade over Deontay Johnson, you have to pay them. That's how this whole thing works. You have to pay them. The Steelers are paying their quarterbacks absolutely nothing. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. It's like $7 million total for the wide receiver, for the quarterbacks room. That is chump change in this NFL. Chump change. That's nothing. The whole business model is structured right now around the fact that the quarter position that the Steelers operate on, that the quarterback position is getting paid absolutely nothing. You imagine if Kenny Pickett worked out and they had to pay the guy whatever that fifth-year option was down the road, close to $28 to $30 million, let's say it was, or they picked up Fields' option. Hello, they have to pay people. That's how this whole thing works. So if you want a wide receiver that could stand opposite George Pickens and that's not going to, lack of a better phrase here, make the room just completely irrelevant if Pickens went down, you have to pay the guy. You just have to. And look, Jordan, I'm sorry to say this too. He says pay a wide receiver that much and Pickens goes ballistic. That's on George Pickens. It's not the Steelers' job to coddle George Pickens. It's not wide receiver X's job if he gets paid more to cater to George Pickens. That's not what this is about. George Pickens can grow up in that case. He can grow up or he can leave. That's the bottom line on that. If you want a good wide receiver, you got to pay the money, period.
Well, I think that, I mean, we definitely have a difference of opinion because I don't think the Steelers need to get one of those type of guys because I think George Pickens can be one of those guys. I think George Pickens is good enough to be a wide receiver one on just about any team.
I want him to show me it before I could say that. That's where we differ on that.
But to me, he's shown it. He's shown the ability to do that.
I want to see more of it.
I can pull up his stats from last year and, you know, to consider what he produced in the offense that he was handcuffed by, because that's really the best way to put it, is the way he was handcuffed, because just about everybody on that offense was handcuffed because terrible offensive coordinator and very, very subpar quarterback play. And the second he even got competent quarterback play with Mason Rudolph, I mean, both George and Deontay benefited from that. Pickens, man, 63 catches last year for 1,140 yards. That is 18.1 yards per carry, or yards per catch, for and five touchdowns. Like, to me,
see him work middle of the field. I want to see him work the middle of the field.
The only thing that I really think that George Pickens needs to do to improve is just to improve as a route runner, and to try to find different ways to attack leverage and find different ways, because he's not gonna be an elite separator, because he's not twitchy enough to be, you know, he doesn't have the quick change of direction that a Deontay Johnson or whoever else has to be that elite separator, but he doesn't need to be. He's got this gigantic body with a gigantic wingspan in which his catch radius is so big and his body control is so elite that he doesn't have to be this guy. As long as he can make contested catches, which he definitely, that would be the one area right there in which really concerned me last year, was his contested catch percentage went way down from where it was in his rookie season. I think it was like in his rookie season, it was like 75%. And then like last year it was like 30 something percent. And so it went way down. But to me, like, you don't have to get that guy. I would be looking for a guy that can complement George Pickens. And maybe, just maybe, the Steelers are outthinking all of us and thinking Roman Wilson's that guy. He's the guy who's going to come in and be the Robin to George Pickens' Batman, regardless of how it looks in this offense. And we have yet to even see how this offense looks on film or on the field, but that might just be their thinking. And that's why they're getting all of these other wide receiver fours and wide receiver fives to fill out all the depth that is like, here, go at it, while they're grooming Roman Wilson to be essentially the next Deontay.
Okay, hold on. Let me get to a couple things here. All right. Lori says, if they get someone like Ayuk, how on earth would they be able to afford Pickens? This comment to me is Family Guy, do you want the boat or the mystery box? And Peter Griffin's offered, you can have the free boat that you won in this contest, or you can have what's in the box. You don't know what's in the mystery box. And Peter Griffin says, well, Lois, anything could be in the mystery box. It could even be a boat. Hello, if you get Brandon Ayuk, maybe you don't have to pay George Pickens, because he's just as good or better than George Pickens, and you're paying Brandon Ayuk anyway. Here's another thing. Rick says you definitely can't pay two wide receivers $25 million. Yes, you can. You can move the money around. The Eagles are doing it.
Not if you ever want to pay a quarterback, you can't.
The Eagles are doing it.
But
as we speak, they're a playoff team, perennial playoff team. The Eagles are doing it. There's a way to do it. You have to figure it out.
And they're going to eventually be gutted because of it. Like, you can't do that. That's not sustainable.
They won the Super Bowl in 2017. They have made the postseason in six out of the last 7 years.
But
they have no worse than third in the division in six out of the last 7 years.
The NFC sucks.
They're still in the post. They're still in the dance.
I understand that.
They're
but
in
what,
the damn dance.
What did their salary cap situation look like whenever they won the Super Bowl?
To hell with it. They won the damn Super Bowl. The Rams sold out and won the damn Super Bowl.
Absolutely matters.
Okay, so you suck for a few years after it. So what? What'd they do after they won the Super Bowl? 9-7, 9-7. Okay, they went 4-11 one year. Then they rebuilt it. 9-8, 4-13, 11-6. The Eagles did. Okay, you sold your soul for a Super Bowl. You rebuilt it. And now they're back 14-3 and 11-6 the last 2 years.
So if you're telling me, that if you had to choose between the capital it would take to get Brandon Ayuk and then have to pay him 25 plus, probably even flirting with 30 million plus, you would rather have that over George Pickens at 18 to 20 per year?
Is Brandon Ayuk going to score more touchdowns, have more catches, put up more yards than George Pickens?
It depends. Okay, so that I'm talking about the fit on the Steelers. I'm not talking about what he would do in San Francisco.
I can't answer. That's a hypothetical. I can't answer a hypothetical. I need.
But that's what I'm saying is that that's the type of decisions you have to make as a GM. If you're a GM, you have to project what's going to happen. What better value are you going to get? Is it worth giving up the necessary draft capital to trade for Brandon Ayuk, which that would be a lot? Then also have to pay him the money it would get him to stay, because you're not going to trade for him if you're not going to pay him long term, which is going to cost between 25 and 30. Or you cannot make that move, call George Pickens your one, give him the next big contract, and probably pay him at least $10 million a year less.
Counter.
That's what I'm saying.
Counter. I'm looking up the trade details that the Eagles did for AJ Brown. I'm looking for it right now.
Apples and oranges, though. This is two different GMs.
Okay, but if they give up a first round pick to get Brandon Ayuk, it's Minka Fitzpatrick again.
Okay, people, well, if it's just a first round pick, then that's all it is.
So if it's a first and a third or whatever, you know, package it, whatever. But if the main centerpiece is a first round pick, don't people sit here and say, well, getting Minka Fitzpatrick in that trade with Miami was just as good as having a first round pick? Isn't that the same theorem you could apply here? And by the way, the Eagles literally did that. And now they're paying both Brown and Smith $32 and $25 million a year, respectively. And they gave up that first round pick. You know what Tennessee did with that pick? They talked about the guy that we pitched on Monday the Steelers should inquire about trading for, because he's not going to cost anything. Treylon Burks. That's exactly what Tennessee did with that pick. Like, okay. See,
this is my concern right here. You're going to pay four guys $100 million in your cap, and none of them is a quarterback. That's my issue. The Steelers don't have a quarterback past this upcoming season, and they have to almost operate under the assumption that either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields are going to work out. If Russell Wilson works out and he does this Adrian Beltre type tapping into this fountain of youth and has this late career resurgence and goes on this multi-year run where you're like, holy crap, man, this dude, like, you know, I used that comparison a while. I don't know if you were on the show or not, but I used that comparison like a week ago or so, is that when Adrian Beltre signed with the Rangers in 2011, he wasn't a Hall of Famer and he was already in the league for, I think, at least 10 years. But then he plays for the Rangers for 8 years. And during that time, even though those are the last 8 years of his career, second half of his career, he turned himself into a Hall of Famer playing there. What if Russell Wilson does that? What if this is what is going on in Pittsburgh is the right formula? And then if that happens, you have to pay him. You got to pay the guy in order to stay here. But if you're paying Brandon Ayuk $25 to $30 million a year, and if you're paying George Pickens $20 million a year, and oh, by the way, they're also paying a crap load of money for TJ Watt and big contract to Minka Fitzpatrick, and we're going to probably have to pay Joey Porter Jr. at 1.2. Like, there's not enough money to go around because you have a salary cap. So you have to operate under the assumption that you got to be able to pay a quarterback too. And that's why I don't think the Steelers are, I think they're willing to pay one receiver. They've always been willing to pay one receiver. They did that with Antonio Brown. But even then, Antonio Brown, Mike Wallace, they tried to give Mike Wallace the contract. Didn't work out. They gave Antonio Brown the contract, and by God, did that decision work?
Mm-hmm. It did.
But
it did.
I don't think that the Steelers are going to ever operate under the fact that they need to have two essentially number one receivers on the outside that they have to pay top dollar for.
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store, like now. Go!
Josh said they won the Super Bowl with Hines, L, and Cedric. Josh, I love you, man. I appreciate your participation. That was 2006. That was almost 20 years ago. Come on. Come on. That's like saying, though, they won the Super Bowl in 1979 with the Steel Curtain. It's like, no, it's a different NFL now. There's different time. It's a different era. You can't compare Hines Ward, Antoine, and you can't compare that wide receivers to today's NFL. You can't. You can't do that. Wide receivers grow on trees. If so, then why are we sitting here talking about Scotty Miller, Quez Watkins, Calvin Austin, Denzel Mims, bottom of the depth chart. Why are we talking about this as if, and Chris used the phrase, you know, and there's a discussion that if George Pickens goes down, the wide receiver's room is screwed. If wide receivers go on trees, why are we having this discussion?
And listen,
they don't.
And listen, we could be very well having this conversation, and Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan and Arthur Smith and everybody else could be just leaning back in their chairs laughing because they know something that we don't. And listen, if there's any franchise, and I guess this is the shed of optimism that I can give, if there's any franchise that should be trusted with identifying receivers, it is this franchise.
I agree.
They have a long history of identifying receivers and making them work, whether they turn into sixth round pick in Antonio Brown into the best receiver in football, or even if they turn into I just think about like so many of the obscure guys like Eli Rogers. Like Eli Rogers wasn't really anybody, but he made some big time catches in big time moments because he at least developed enough of a rapport with Ben Roethlisberger that he could be that third receiver while Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant or Juju Smith-Schuster or anybody else were the main two guys, you know. And maybe one of these guys that we're ragging on right now, like a Van Jefferson or a Scotty Miller or whoever else, you know, we're ragging on them, but maybe that's all the Steelers need them to be, is another Eli Rogers type guy, because they really, really love George Pickens and Roman Wilson or whoever else. So if there's any franchise that we should trust, it's this one, because the resume speaks for itself when it comes to identifying and developing receivers.
I'll absolutely give you that. And I'll absolutely give Brian this, the drafted offensive line. They're not building the team to be a spread offense, to air it out, to be a West Coast. They're not doing that. Yeah. I understand that. I completely understand that, but there has to be something beyond George Pickens and Roman Wilson to feel absolutely good about. And again, Roman Wilson's more of a specialized wide receiver. He's not going to run outside that often. Like you have to, Omar Khan, they still have to find another quality piece to add to this room. Again, to me, as I said at the top of the show, they have George Pickens, draw the line, Roman Wilson, draw the line, and then literally sort them out however you want, because they all blend in the same. They're all one in the same to me. They're all, I know they all do different things, but value-wise, I'm not getting, you know, am I getting a huge surge out of Calvin Austin? All right, Zachary, you've asked this question three times. There is none, because guess what? The value on wide receivers are shooting through the roof now. And as of right now, there are only, what, six or seven that are getting paid $25 million a year? The Eagles are the team, the outlier, that are paying this much money for wide receivers. I'm using this as a very somewhat exaggerated example, but a very top of the line example. But also, they've gone to the postseason 6 out of 7 years. They've won the Super Bowl out of the last 7 years. The Steelers haven't done, I can't say the word. It's a curse word. I want children to listen to the show sometimes. I can't curse on this show. The Steelers haven't won squat in 7 years. Okay. The Eagles, what they're doing is working. And I'm using them as an example because that's a team that saw a need, that were aggressive for it. They traded that first round pick to get AJ Brown, and then they paid him, and then they paid Devontae Smith, and they're going to pay Jalen Hurts, and they're still winning games. They change head coaches, and they're still winning games. Wide receivers, you got to pay them in this day and age. What about John Metchie on Houston? What about Tank Dell and Nico Collins? And Stephon Diggs now that are all out there. Like, look, if John Metchie's a trade target, that still doesn't satisfy the need of a true wide receiver too.
That is, but see, and this is why, like, when you look at what Houston's doing, Houston is absolutely capitalizing and taking advantage of CJ Stroud being on a rookie contract. I mean, he is 1 year into a rookie contract. That means the next 3 years, the next three seasons, he's getting paid nothing, essentially. And then even that fifth-year option, like, yeah, it's going to be expensive, but not nearly as expensive as you would, as it would be if you were to have to pay a Kirk Cousins type contract. So Houston, that makes sense to me. What the Eagles are doing does not make as much sense to me. And yes, you can look at what they've done over the past 7 years, and yes, they've accomplished a lot, including a Super Bowl. But when they won the Super Bowl, that's not how they were built. And the
I get that.
That's not how they were built. And I would even question, like, why are you spending so much money at receiver while one of the main reasons the Eagles have been as good as they've been has been because they've been able to dominate the trenches on both sides. Now, doesn't mean that they're not addressing them. They've been drafting there. And maybe they think that while all these guys that they're drafting in the trenches are on rookie contracts, that they can afford to pay receivers. And then by the time that you have to pay those guys in the trenches, you have to get rid of one of those receivers. And maybe that's the way they're operating. And that's fine. The Steelers can try to operate that way too, but they don't necessarily have to, especially because the Eagles offense and the Steelers offense are going to be very, very different.
I get that. And as Mark says, Andy Weidel, guess who built those teams that won the Super Bowl and it made all those playoff runs? Andy Weidel. Like, I get it. Okay. I get it. I totally understand and validate your argument. I totally do. And I think that there's two sides of the coin. I think we did a good job of looking at both of those sides of the coins. Where's the comment that I, okay. Mike says, are we overlooking Roman Wilson? Would this conversation be taking place if we draft a wide receiver in round one? I'll take you a step further, Mike. If the Steelers drafted a wide receiver in round one, and I have to go back and look and see who was on the board still, or
Brian Thomas, Worthy,
which is a little bit different.
It was everybody except for the top three guys.
But put it this way, okay? What if, theoretically, they didn't take a wide receiver in round one? They still stuck to Faltanu. What if they took Adonai Mitchell at 54 instead of Zach Frazier? Would we be having this conversation? Probably not. But also, they probably wouldn't have Roman Wilson. And maybe some of these signings of these slot receivers would be more justified. But again, they still have that need to address. We are well without of the draft. We are in May, and rookie minicamp's right around the corner, and we're still talking about the Steelers having a glaring need at wide receiver too. If they draft Adonai Mitchell or Brian Thomas, we're not having this conversation.
Crystal brings up something here, and I want to kind of contextualize this a little bit. And Crystal says the Steelers have the lowest paid offense in the league, and the defense is mid. Well, first off, I wholeheartedly disagree that the defense is mid. The defense was eighth in scoring last year. I think
it was good. It was good.
And yep. That's considering all of the injuries that they had to fight. So I disagree about the defense, but the thing about the offense is this. Okay. Let's look at just quarterback, because most important position, the Steelers are going to be the team that pays the least amount of money towards their quarterbacks this season. Yet the quarterback room is better than it was last year when they were paying more money for Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, and Mason Rudolph. Just because you're paying a certain amount doesn't mean that it's not worth anything. You also have Najee Harris still on a rookie contract, Jalen Warren still on a rookie contract, Pat Freiermuth still on a rookie contract, George Pickens still on a rookie contract, your offensive line, Broderick Jones, rookie contract, Troy Faltanu, rookie contract, Zach Frazier, rookie contract. You see what I'm saying? Like, a lot of the offense is rookie contracts. And then just a quarterback, you lucked into Russell Wilson because the Denver Broncos massively overpaid for him and it didn't work out. So then now they now have to eat a bunch of money, and the Steelers are like, vet minimum, thank you very much. We'll take the gamble. And so that's why I think that narrative tends to get pushed a lot on social media. And yeah.
Can anybody remember who the Patriots had at wide receiver? They had the greatest quarterback of all time. They had the greatest head coach of all time. Didn't matter. They could have rolled Chris, me, you, my girlfriend's cat. They could have rolled anybody out at wide receiver. Man. And it wouldn't have mattered. They had Tom Brady. They had Tom Brady throwing him the football. David Givens, Julian Edelman, Randy Moss at points. Keep going down the line. Come on.
And guys. The thing is that probably the best Patriots team didn't even win the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Because it was the year. Because the year the Patriots were the most dangerous was when they had Randy Moss, and they didn't win because somehow through some sort. If you don't believe in God, this might be the reason to believe in God, is that somehow Eli Manning is Tom Brady's kryptonite, and just if Tom Brady has to face Eli Manning, that he just can't win.
And so, Rob Gronkowski, by the way.
Yeah, no, it was.
And as Teresa says, thank you. Steelers don't have a Tom Brady. So, yes, the wide receivers matter. Yes, they matter. So
they matter. But again, and I think this goes to my point, you don't have to have a whole bunch of elite receivers. Does it help? 100% it does. And it really helps elite
quarterback.
And it really helps to have that dog on the outside. But yes, when you have like an all-time great quarterback or the all-time great quarterback, then yeah, you're going to win.
Guys, I'm not going to sit here and ho-hum Tom Brady. I'm not going to ho-hum Tom Brady. I'm just not going to do it. That's the greatest quarterback to play the sport. It's the greatest play the sport at his position in the most important position. I'm not going to ho-hum Tom Brady. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it. You're not going to get me to do it today or ever for that matter.
But I'm going to say Tom Brady was never highest paid. I mean, dude, Tom Brady, like team guy, man. Like,
I understand. Yeah, absolutely.
Eli, I don't understand, man. Whoever inspired that is a genius. That of all the quarterbacks to be the kryptonite of Tom Brady, it's Eli Manning.
Randy, they had the best quarterback. They had the best quarterback. Randy says, who had the best wide receiver core? Did they win the Super Bowl? Did they? They had the best quarterback.
Quarterback trumps receivers every day of the week.
Of course it does, but the Steelers don't have that either.
That's correct.
you're not going to have the great quarterback, then have great receivers to help the average to good quarterback.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, honestly, that's why. Okay, why did the Steelers not win when they had Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown? It's because their defense was crap. And the first time their defense even looked like even a, you want to talk about a mid defense.
Oh,
sure. The first time the defense even looked mid, they were legitimate Super Bowl contenders. And then that went away when Ryan Shazier got injured. So it just, you know, like, yes, like you have an all-time great quarterback, you always have a chance. It almost doesn't matter. I almost think about like that game that the Steelers almost won after falling down 29-0 against the Vikings. The only reason that game was even close was because of Ben Roethlisberger, because that's what elite quarterbacks do. They can take any situation and at some point just throw the team on their back and be like, let's go. I'm winning this game for us, or at least I'm going to give us a legitimate chance. And you have that ace to play at just about any time, because that's what an elite quarterback does. The Steelers don't have that right now. And so because they don't have that, you need to supplement somehow in some other way. The good thing is that the Steelers have a really, really good duo running back.
Yes,
probably one of the best in the league. And that's not an exaggeration. I dare anybody to challenge me on that. They have one of the best running back duos in the league. Their offensive line is getting better, and it's getting younger, and it's getting stronger. They have a better offensive coordinator. There are different ways that you can supplement and make up for lack of elite quarterback play. And yes, it would really help if they would, and that's the whole reason why we're talking about this, is it would really help if they were to get a legitimate second receiver. And maybe we're all stupid, and by the time training camp comes around, Van Jefferson looks like the second coming of Antonio Brown. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm not predicting for that to happen, but who says it can't happen? Who says whoever the Steelers brought in, maybe Roman Wilson comes in and it's like, okay, this dude's actually a lot better than we even anticipated. And what if that's the number two guy? So again, Steelers probably know if there's any position to trust, or if there's any team to trust with the receiver position, it's this franchise.
That's right. But also where there's smoke, there's fire. Rumors and reports, they are what they are, you know, coming from national media and national reporting, but they're not nothing. To a certain point, that like smoke and fire, right? Like, I'm not saying Omar Khan's not looking or is looking definitively, but if there's at least rumblings on it, then you have to think that they're at least not looking at this wide receiver room as complete as we sit here today.
That's why I'm saying post June 1, let's see what happens. If we get to the end of minicamp and the Steelers haven't brought in that, you know it when you see it, number two receiver, then they're pretty much telling us how they feel about their receiver room.
Yeah.
DJ Chark is already signed with somebody else. I believe he went to the Chargers.
That's correct.
So, yeah, DJ Chark's off the board.
Who's the best player on the Steelers offense right now? Asked Travis. I think it's Isaac Seumalo. He flipped that offensive line last year.
I would either say I'm going to go skill position here. I'd probably say George Pickens.
Okay.
Probably their best offensive player. I mean, yeah, you could go offensive line, which you would go Isaac Seumalo, but I mean, George Pickens, like I said, averaged over 18 yards a catch. Five touchdowns in that crappy offense. I would say George Pickens. Definitely the most dangerous. But that's what I would say. And again, to me, he's a wide receiver one, and maybe that's why in Arthur Smith's offense, you know, you only need to have one guy who can be that top guy. Just the big question, and again, to bring that up, and maybe this is a good point to bring this to bookend this nicely, is what happens if George Pickens goes down with an injury? And so
here's one wide receiver that's off the board. Devin Funchess is off the board. He has signed a deal with the Caribbean Storm Llaneros of the Professional Caribbean Basketball League.
I was about to say, if a notification came across today and you saw the Steelers had signed Funchess, or is anybody jumping for joy? Or are we having another 40-minute discussion about this?
Well, no more discussions today. We did enough today. Nice job. That was fun today. We had a good time. We definitely had a good time. Thank you all for joining us and listening again. Remember, find us where podcasts are available. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. We'll be back tomorrow on a Thursday, May 9th, 2024. Today is hump day, so that means it is a double dip. That means DK and Ramon coming up in about 20-ish minutes, where you found this on DK Pittsburgh Sports. That was fun. Ooh. We'll cool down.
Will he be doing it, though? Because DK's
Pirates. Ooh, maybe not. Well, I guess we'll all find out at 4 o'clock.
I guess if not, I'm sure they'll have it at some point this week.
I guess we'll all find out in about 18 minutes. but until then, we'll see you on Thursday. He's Chris. I'm Corey. This has been the Southside Beat. Have a good day, everybody. Cheers.